The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Let me tell you what, who deserves a shot in the United States heavyweight.
Let's hear it.
I'm the champion. I ought to know. You know, I've been sizing up guys since I came to the WCW. And I think the one guy that stands out the most, the guy that I think has earned a title shot, El Dandy, I think you're a heck of a wrestler. You're a great technician in the ring, and you're a jam-up guy. Whoa. I don't see any reason.
Wait a minute. El Dandy has been wrestling in the cruiserweight division here. Please.
He's a great wrestler.
He's a great wrestler, but thank goodness sakes, it's 50 pounds.
Who are you to doubt El Dandy? Because this guy's a serious professional.
Well, let's talk about some serious
professionals. How about hypnosis? Let's get to
psychosis.
Whatever. He's a great wrestler, you know.
Hello, and welcome to The Rawcast. I'm your host, Don DeLaurente, and I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Mo to the underscore Reese. What's going on, Mo?
What's going on, everyone? It's Tuesday, and we're here to talk the show that is Monday Night Raw. So let's get into it.
Back on the home base, the home turf, after your little excursion over to NXT Cast last week. We definitely appreciate you joining us over there.
Had to come crash the set. No, had to bring my Raw Cast stench down to the NXT Cast.
Well, me and Miss Simi definitely appreciate it. It was a lot of fun previewing the takeover that happened this past Sunday. Thank you to everybody who used the hashtag HBKCast to share their commentary with color on Takeover Vengeance Day. And you'll hear me and Miss Simi's full review this Wednesday or Thursday when you guys hear it on the NXT Cast. This is The Rawcast. You can find us on the web at cspn.us. You can also subscribe to the show through SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, iTunes, all the usual suspects. All you have to do is just search for The Wrestlecast - the CSPN. Look out for The New Day holding the Wrestlecast logo. Subscribe to that feed and The Rawcast. And all of our programming here on The Wrestlecast will show up in your podcast queue each and every week. Also, be sure to check out the Patreon page over on patreon.com/CSPN Media. You can listen to exclusive content that takes place before and after the recordings, as well as The Dark Match, which is our AEW review show. So please become a patron and support the WrestleCast through your patronage. So we'll start with the Mo Meltzer news report for this week. You got anything for me, Mo?
Got some stuff. So it looks like WWE is issuing out violations for the talent if they mention third party businesses, persons, brands, or charities on their Twitter accounts. I guess WWE feels as though that the talent Twitter accounts are an extension of their something that they own, the company owns, and everything. I guess it's a part that they own. So
that's being super petty.
Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's being petty. Vince is being petty on that. So,
well, I'm glad Zelina Vega got out when she did, because she probably wouldn't have made it past this part right here.
Probably not.
I mean, let's just be honest, right?
Yeah, we're being honest. So, yeah, it's crazy. What else? So, I mentioned Bow Wow wanting to wrestle. Apparently, he's training with Rikishi, Hall of Famer Rikishi. So I guess he's taking this a bit more serious than what we all imagined.
Again, Is he going to wrestle Drake Maverick? Because that's the only person in his size and weight class in the business.
I don't know. He might want to go. He might want to challenge Braun Strowman one day. Or he might want to go against Tall Bruce Leroy. No, he might want to do the whole David versus Goliath sort of thing.
If you can't tell by my silence, I got the saddest of eyes right
now. No, I was just thinking. I was just like, you know, throwing some names out there. You know what I'm saying? You might want to, you know, set the Braun Strowman, you know. And you just, I know you just got mad quiet, like, no. About Bow Wow. Unless you want to see a diamond ring.
Right. Go train and do all, run the ropes, get in like phenomenal shape, do everything but wrestle. Okay. That's basically how I would play it if I was like, you know, somebody challenged me to like a boxing fight or something like that. Or I was like, yeah, I'll go train. I'll do all the training. I'll do all the sparring, but I'm not going to fight nobody. Nope. Not going to happen. Thanks for the workout, though.
Right. Apparently before joining the Hurt Business, Cedric Alexander got into some trouble, had some heat with Vince. He had heat with Vince, and so they thought that was gonna be the end of his WWE career, but apparently, Vince had a change of heart. Now he's running with the Hurt Business.
Nah, I'm gonna tell you who had what saved him. Triple H put in that word, man. You know better.
Of course.
You know, so Triple H put in that good word, and our man still got a job. So that's awesome.
Yeah. So I told y'all a couple weeks ago about the Punky Brewster reboot.
Right.
Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair will both have cameos on there.
Man, Punky Brewster reboot. Good gosh. Not that old.
I think we are, because
I remember coming home in the afternoon specifically to watch Punky Brewster.
I mean, it was a cartoon. They had the cartoon. They had the live show.
The live show, and Small Wonder. Do you know anything folks about that?
Of course, I know about that because Vicky was that robot. Small Wonder used to come on Saturdays on out. On the local station here, so it was like, so basically that's what I used to come home, I used to sit there and watch that.
Right.
So yeah, so definitely, you know, that was that. So Mrs. John Morrison, Taya Valkyrie, mm-hmm. They said she reportedly signed a contract with WWE.
Hey man, you gotta keep the missus happy.
And she'll be down, and they said she'll be down in NXT.
So that should be fun. I think she'll fit in with that women's division pretty good.
Yeah. So, you know, just that's a good thing, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a real good thing. You know, get to keep the wife there, she gets a job there too. And you know,
double the income, and yeah, so should work out good for those two. I mean, they've pretty much been a package deal everywhere they've been since they've been married,
right.
So or since they've been dating. So, it's no different here. I don't see why you know we would expect anything different here. But good luck to Taya Valkyrie in NXT. That should be, you know, made for some new matchups.
So, also apparently, do you remember when CM Punk was the head person of Nexus?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the episode? It was the episode of Raw. They were showing Andy was in the doing a backstage segment with Stone Cold, and they were sharing a bed, and then that's when CM Punk came into the office, and him and Stone Cold had that backstage segment where they were just when Stone Cold offered him a bed, he kept going what, and he was like, "Well, what thing is annoying?" And everybody thought that it was going to lead to something between them down the road. They actually had something in WWE 13 when they was doing the promotion for that. They had a sit down. Jim Ross was doing the moderating between those two, and so Jim Ross had asked that does he think CM Punk present day at that time CM Punk would fit in with the Attitude Era, and Steve Austin said, you know, Steve Austin basically said, you know, all the guys back there and during the Attitude Era time was basically trying to go for the championship. Everybody was hungry, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so he said during that WWE product, it was maybe two or three guys that was really hungry, and everybody else just happened to be on TV. You know, they thought that was going to lead something to that too as well. So I said that to say this. So basically, it was over the weekend. So CM Punk had asked, so a fan of X has said, asked CM Punk that him and they almost had a confrontation back in 2013. Hmm. And they was asked how would the match go. And so CM Punk said the match would have been quick, GTS 1-2-3. So Austin saw and retweeted and said, I saw it differently. You know, we had, we went to 60 minute draw. And so he was like, we was in Chicago at the Rosemont Horizon. And he said, I hit you with the stunner at 59:56. And you did not kick out. Yeah, he called CM Punk delusional or something. He called him delusional, but and CM Punk was like, had retweeted it and said something back, but I was like, man, what could have been? What could have been a match between those two? Like, we had Hogan and Rock, and was it WrestleMania 17?
I think it's 18.
Or 18. Yeah. We had Hogan and Rock. Now we had Stone Cold and CM Punk, you know, that would have tore the roof off too.
Man, CM Punk would still be spending that money from that match.
Right. Yeah, he definitely would have. He still would have been paid in full. Yeah, other stuff that I'm going to talk about will tie in with the Raw cast when we get to it.
But all right.
After the more muscle segment.
Well, this Sunday, it's another pay-per-view Sunday. This weekend, it is the Elimination Chamber. So please share your commentary with color by using the hashtag ChamberCast this Sunday night starting at 7 p.m. as we live tweet as a family the Elimination Chamber.
Hashtag sit on the pre-shows.
Oh, yes. Got to give love to the Say No to Pre-Shows hashtag as well. Shout out to Miss Dee Dee Jonet. We have the Elimination Chamber card for who you got. I have the listing of what I have. Sorry if they add more matches, but we're just going to go with what I could find. So we have a triple threat match for the United States Championship shaping up. Do you have any word on Keith Lee? I heard he was injured, or he has multiple.
I just heard he was injured, but I didn't see anything about that. I didn't see anything about, you know, what the injury was. There was no update on him, so I just He might be there.
So it's no truth to the rumor that Mia Yim put that snapper on him, and he has.
I mean, he could have. I mean, she probably spirit bombed him. And he probably the last person standing. He couldn't get up, so he probably call out ETO.
So triple threat with Keith Lee, Riddle, and Bobby Lashley for the United States title. Who you got?
I think Bobby Lashley has one more pay-per-view run with it, so I'm going to go with Lashley.
He's taking a lot of L's, and I don't mean the kind you like. I'm talking about losses, so I'm going to go with Riddle on this one.
Okay.
Next up, well, now this match is in peril. It's supposed to be the Raw Women's Championship match.
Skip it.
Yep.
Skip it. Have we ever heard anything about it? Skip it.
Number one contender, Elimination Chamber match for the SmackDown side, as we have Kevin Owens, Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, Corbin, Sami Zayn, and Jey Uso all locked into the chamber. The winner of this match will receive a title shot against Roman Reigns in the same evening. Moshe underscore Reese, who you got?
This will be real interesting. I'm going to go with Cesaro.
Okay. Sure about
that. I'm going with Cesaro in this match.
You sure? Oh, in this match. Okay.
In this match. This match here, I'm going with Cesaro.
They've been drawing you in with these rainy days and him winning and getting a bunch of wins underneath his belt, huh?
He's getting on my nerves. They be getting on my nerves talking about something. He just started, like, he's been a slouch ever since he came in. I was like, Michael Cole and Corey Graves just shut the hell up. He said on SmackDown, on his Talking Smack promo, he said, I made my name before I came here. And I was like, yeah, that's true. I said, you go back and see them old indie shows on the internet. You can find him on YouTube. You will see that man definitely made his name before he came to the WWE.
My choice is going to be Daniel Bryan.
Ah, that's a good one. I can see him winning too, but I'm going with Cesaro because Cesaro has been bloodied and bleeding, and it's going to be some hurt. Some bones going to be hurting after this Elimination Chamber. But I'm sure a certain Uso has instructions to take out, make sure that he does damage on the field or on the competitors in there.
Definitely, for sure. Universal Championship match as Roman will be defending against the winner of the SmackDown Elimination Chamber match. So, Mo to the underscore Reese, who you got?
Who'd you say again?
The SmackDown championship match, Roman versus the winner of the Elimination.
Oh, yeah. Definitely going to be Roman.
All right.
Roman is going to retain.
Yeah, I have the same thing. Roman's going to retain. Hopefully, it will be a very entertaining match. It won't just be a dud. But, yeah, I see a very spirited match, but... Roman's going to get the best of this person, and it's probably going to be like as soon as the chamber match ends and the damn stretcher comes up, here comes Roman. It's going to be something dastardly. And then our final match that I have listed, the Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship, where Drew McIntyre is defending the title against we have a new entrant, Sheamus, AJ Styles, Randy Orton, and Jeff Hardy. Who you got?
You forgot somebody.
Yeah, it's Kofi Kingston, no longer The Miz.
I mean, we might as well just say who it is because we'll talk about how he got in there.
Oh, yeah, I said it's Kofi.
Yeah. So, no, this ain't gonna happen, but I think a lot somebody threw out a theory, and I think this might come into play, but we'll talk about that on the show. Drew over Zayn. I don't see nobody taking the title off of Drew right now.
All right.
One time, but
yeah, I'm gonna have to agree with you. Well, you know what? I'm not gonna agree with you because I want to win. So you're gonna have Drew.
Don't agree with me there.
Yeah, I'm not. So Mo's got Drew. I'm gonna go with the Viper, Randy Orton, because then we can get Randy versus Edge for the title at WrestleMania.
Son of a bitch, man.
So, I've got the choices.
I forgot. Edge does have that. It does have the wild card. Mm-hmm. He's waiting to play.
That's right. So, again, share your commentary with color this Sunday starting at 7 p.m. Use the hashtag ChamberCast. And we will see you in the live tweet of Elimination Chamber.
We will be talking about the Elimination Chamber with the CSPN, with the WrestleCast family.
That's right. All of us, all of my rally friends will be.
Well, I don't know. It might be some people missing.
Yeah.
It's usually mainly the new faces. You know, KBD gonna be giving her commentary. You know, she told me her name. She told me I pronounced her name. I hit up on the DMs. Anisi. She's definitely gonna. I know she's gonna be there. She's definitely gonna be going up for Roman and Jay. You know, she goes up for them too. If you see on SmackDown Matters, she's definitely going up for those two.
Oh yeah, she's definitely Team Samoa Coalition.
I think she's a Damian Priest fan too.
All are Damian Priest fans. Haven't you been reading inside the hashtag, sir?
Well, I've been seeing them. I've been seeing them. They love them with Damian Priest.
Yeah, they all love Damian Priest, from Jay to the Max to Didi Jonet to Miss Cammy D to Miss Simi to Anise. Everybody is all the gorgeous ladies at the WrestleCast are all about some Damian Priest.
Yeah, we got some very lovely ladies of the WrestleCast. They talk their wrestling. They know they're wrestling. So it's like I'm very much glad to be in the company of these wonderful ladies as they share their commentary with color.
That's right. So we start Monday Night Raw with the information that those in the Elimination Chamber will be in a gauntlet match to determine who is going to get the final spot in the chamber, basically come out last out of the pods. So we start with Miz TV, and Drew McIntyre is the guest. Drew threatens Miz that if he doesn't shut up, he's going to knock him out, which he does with a Glasgow kiss. And then he proceeded to toss the Money in the Bank briefcase, as far as he could. Man.
That briefcase got some travels, got some frequent flyer miles within the past year. So, I mean, I think they flew.
Man, he chunked that thing back up towards the entrance of Monday Night Raw. Miz gets back up. He cuts a promo, and then he announces he's giving up his spot in the Elimination Chamber. Due to the fact that he has the Money in the Bank briefcase and he can cause more damage and more uncertainty with that briefcase than he would by winning the Elimination Chamber.
And that's real smart of him, because it was like basically like, why is he in the match and he has the Money in the Bank briefcase? He doesn't need to be in the match. He can play his card whatever he wants to.
Mm-hmm. Matt Riddle is backstage with the Lucha House Party and says that today is one of his favorite holidays. Then he asks Lucha House Party who their favorite president is. He says Harrison Ford is his favorite.
He went down a couple of names. He said Teddy Roosevelt. He said a couple of names. I was like, dude, what the hell?
Riddle and the Lucha House Party picked up a win over MVP Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin when Riddle hit the flash knee on Cedric, then the floating bro on MVP to get the win.
And here we have another sidebar. MVP hurt his knee. So a lot of us noticed that he was walking, he was limping to the back, and they were saying that he might have blew out his knee. And he definitely said he's on one good knee, so he might have injured himself. So depending on how serious it is, he might still be in the on screen role, but he might just not be wrestling. He might just be the mouthpiece for Bobby Lashley, Cedric, and Shelton.
Yeah, most definitely. Unfortunate incident there with MVP getting injured. He's definitely been a bright spot on Monday Night Raw for the past year. So hopefully it wasn't anything major, just a little tweak. And he can stay off his feet for a couple of weeks and be back to 100%. So after the match, Lashley attacks from behind. He clocks Matt Riddle. Then he tosses Grand Metalik into Lince Dorado. Then he heads back over to Matt Riddle, grabs him by the head, locks on the Hurt Lock, ragdolls Riddle around. And that was that.
And we got ragdolled. Like he was getting just tossed around.
The Miz, he wants John Morrison to take his spot in the chamber. Adam Pearce says he'll take it under consideration. Now we're all the gorgeous ladies of the glow, their favorite part of the night. Damian Priest, he cuts a promo on what it's been like to be hanging out with Bad Bunny over the last 2 weeks. Off to the side, Akira Tozawa is winning the 24/7 title from R-Truth. Akira Tozawa backs into Damian Priest, who hits him with the knee strike. Then he tells Bad Bunny to cover Akira Tozawa. We get a 1-2-3, and Bad Bunny is your new 24/7 champion.
So, you know, reason I'll say that this happened because Bad Bunny will be the musical guest on Saturday Night Live this weekend. So, with the WWE, with the whole Peacock deal with the WWE Network, you have a championship title on a Saturday Night Live if he brings it out there with him. Songs and everything. So, hey.
Yeah, this is definitely a situation where if I'm Bad Bunny, I might not want to have to worry about trying to squeeze this 24/7 title into a Saturday Night Live performance.
He might do Booker T. Have the title with him, and then had Booker T out there, standing out there, just looking like a big medicine figure. So it could happen.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. But yeah, this is it makes
sense though. You know, he's doing work with the WWE. WWE signed a contract with NBC Universal for the WWE Network content and on air. Bad Bunny has the 24/7 title. It all ties in.
Oh yeah,
Vince's visibility on the belt brings visibility to the company. He likes those eyes. It comes out for the mainstream media. He'll see the social media interactions. You know, Bad Bunny's already got making money for Vince. You know, merchandise selling out the WWE shop. It's a lot.
Kofi and Xavier Woods come up to question the consideration of Morrison taking The Miz's spot. Kofi says he is a former WWE champion. Woods says Pierce has no idea what's going on because he won't give Woods his best of five match that he's been waiting for against Reckoning of Retribution. Kofi says if Miz is out, Kofi is in. The Miz walks up on the scene and, of course, is questioning what Kofi is doing there. So the two men start shouting back and forth. Pierce stops the shouting between Kofi and Miz. He says if there's an opening, then Miz will face Kofi tonight. If Miz wins, Morrison is in. If Kofi wins, Kofi is in. Kofi says that this could be the beginning of Kofi Mania 2. The Miz says sequels suck, so Kofi and Woods bring up the Marine movies.
Oh my god, that was that. This was great. It was great. He said that we saw the Marine 4, the Marine 5, and the Marine 6. He was like, oh my goodness. Who started those Marine movies?
I think that's the John Cena movie. The first one.
Because what was Orton?
Maybe. The one I remember is John Cena, though.
Hold on. Let's go to the good old Google.
While you're looking on the Googles, Lacey Evans cuts a promo about her upcoming title match against Asuka. Afterwards, Asuka and Charlotte defeated Peyton Royce and Lacey Evans by forfeit after Lacey Evans gets on the microphone and announces that she's pregnant.
Yes. Yes. So, yeah, so wait, but before we go to that, the first Marine was John Cena. The second one was Ted DiBiase Jr. Ted DiBiase Jr. Hold up. The third one was the Marine Homefront. And that's the one that was that also was that's the one Miz was in.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the Marine 4.
Really? They made a lot of spent a lot of money on those movies.
The Marine 5. The Marine 5 had Miz, Bo Dallas, Heath Slater, Curtis Axel, Maurice. Naomi was in it too.
Straight to the big old stack of DVDs in the middle of Walmart bin.
And the Marine 6 had Miz, Shawn Michaels, and Becky Lynch.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
Oh my god, Miz did 4 Marine sequels.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first Ted DiBiase Jr. and Miz said, I got this from here. Oh my god. Oh my god, that's hilarious. That's just a hilarious revelation right there. You go easy on them. That's like the one movie I think Dolph Ziggler had did, and everybody was excited because Rusev had a gun. Everybody was like, hold up, Rusev got a gun. He's shooting people.
It definitely wasn't Brian Pillman, 1997.
Man, no, it wasn't Pillman 9mm.
Like I said,
that was the answer to Austin 316 was Pillman 9mm.
That's like I've said on this podcast many times, that particular episode that night changed the whole course of my TV watching because I was strictly Nitro at that point,
right. Right. And when Pillman had that gun on Monday Night Raw, I did not turn back to Nitro that night. I kept it on there because I wanted to know if he was going to shoot Austin for
real. And after that angle, when Stone Cold was beating up all his friends and he breaks in the glass and he breaks into the door and they cut off the black, I said, whoa, WWF at the time, they getting hard. They getting real
with that one. That was some real shit right there.
So I was like,
we got off track. But getting back to this thing, so first we thought this was just a bad pregnancy angle, which would have been weird because doing a pregnancy angle before Lacey has to face Asuka Sunday at Elimination Chamber, and if this was a bad pregnancy angle, we would have to get a retraction by the end of the night, or Gene Snitsky come out there and kicking the doll baby into the audience or something like that. But that was crazy. Everybody was like, my friend texted me and was like, I'm not accepting the storyline at all. And I was like, me neither. And then come to find out, the thing turned out to be real because Liv Morgan had said congratulations. And I'm sitting here like, wait a minute. Can I see people retweeting, like responding to her and Liv and Lacey? And I was like, so this is real? It's definitely real. Lacey Evans is with child.
Yeah, man. Apparently she didn't go, she didn't ride Space Mountain, but she found another... She found another ride that she found just as enjoyable. And yeah.
There was somebody, I think it was Dolph Kudo who was saying Rick was shooting out Blake since 2003, and I see my phone when he's tweeting.
Yeah, so for once, life did imitate art as that. Pregnancy popped up on Lacey Evans, and a lot of people was like, oh my gosh, here goes WWE with their terrible booking. But no, real life booked itself here, so that puts the Elimination Chamber match between Asuka and Lacey Evans now totally up in the air.
They said this is going to be a change. They said a change, but we don't know what the change is going to be, but I wouldn't be surprised if they pull this off the card. Yeah, because the main thing, a lot of people was complaining, was saying there wasn't no women's elimination chamber. And I'm like, well, there's not enough women actually in on either show to have a proper program for them to build to have a show in an elimination chamber, because you couldn't have Bianca in it because Bianca won the right to face the champion at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. She still had to make her pick, and she said she was going to wait to see who she was going to face. So most likely it's still going to be whoever's with the SmackDown champion. Raw, everyone's tied up in their own little storylines. You had, like last year, they were saying Shayna eliminated all the women in the chamber by herself. This year, you got the women's tag team titles, which could have been on NXT for the longest, but they kept it on the main roster for whatever reason, and they wasn't really defending those titles like that. So you got that storyline all tied up. You got, you know, Lana came back. You got Lana, Mandy Rose, Nikki Cross, Dana Brooke, Natalya, Naomi, Peyton Royce. Probably about it for Raw.
Yeah, it's not a lot of depth.
After the champion, so right, it's not a lot of depth. And then SmackDown, you have you got Bayley, Sasha. Well, Sasha's the champion, so take her out. You got Bayley, Billie Kay, Riot Squad, Liv, and Ruby Riott. Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
That's it. I was about to say, can't put Bianca in it because she faced the champion.
Right.
So, you got Zadie DeBille in her administrative role. So she's not. So she's kind of out herself. Mm-hmm. Rhea Ripley's some way up in the air. We don't know where she's going. What?
I was just laughing at Rhea Ripley being up in the air because you're right. They haven't really defined what brand she's going to be on. They haven't established her as coming soon or anything.
Exactly. I'm definitely. I don't know. It's what sidebar. Have you seen Sonya Deville in suits? I was on my Insta stories yesterday. Ooh, that woman can wear a suit.
I thought we've established that over the many weeks.
I know we're saying that, but I'm just saying she was doing a compare, like, which one looked better. That was like the dark color suits always look better on her.
Yeah, because the dark hair.
Yeah, but I mean, dark colors fit her better. And I love her. And I've seen the dark. And I'm like, I was picking those dark ones like quickly. Like, that's the one.
Yeah, she's actually. She's actually. Come up.
I mean, think about it. She was on Tough Enough.
Right.
Her and Mandy was on Tough Enough. And you know, she got eliminated.
She had the fighter gimmick in NXT to put your hair up and square up. That
when she first came up to the main roster too. Yeah. They liked it. They was like they had signed her to it. They signed her to a contract. And so, you know, she was down there and then, you know, I was like, yo, she's gonna be a future champ one day. You know. Me and Jay was basically on that train since day one. Like, yeah. To a future champ.
We still waiting, but we'll get there.
I mean, hey, you know what? You know, it's like they say, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, you know. Right. So right.
Shout out to Nipsey Hussle. okay, we get a Sheamus promo on how his singles match turned into an Elimination Chamber match and how he's going to win the gauntlet match tonight, be the last one to come out of the pod and use that to his advantage to become the WWE champion. Kofi Kingston defeats The Miz with Trouble in Paradise to earn the open slot in the Elimination Chamber on Sunday.
Miz and Kofi, and this was a great match. I enjoyed this match.
I'm looking around going, where's Mustafa?
Okay. So as somebody mentioned this, somebody retweeted this in the hashtag, and this might could play out too. So remember when that one year, I think it was 2009? Was it the Elimination Chamber 2009? Kofi was in. Let's see. Let's look it up real quick.
I'm not sure if Kofi was in that 2009
winner. Hold on.
Oh, you're going through trying to find out.
Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to see. Because it was
we'll talk about what happened to Xavier Woods while you're looking that up. Unfortunately,
Fortunately,
Xavier Woods was a little too enthusiastic, like he usually is with the trombone. Francesca,
he was talking shit. And he was playing the trombone, and Tall Bruce Leroy got him the fuck out of there.
Yeah, Tall Bruce Leroy grabbed him by the goozle, lifted him up, and then dropped him over the other side of the barricade onto the concrete. And I don't think we've seen Xavier Woods since.
No, we have not. Because he all you saw was him getting picked up and just walked over. Everybody was like, he's picking him up with ease. And I was like, oh, it was okay. So it was, so found the answer. So the event wasn't Elimination Chamber. This was still called No Way Out. And it was 2009. It was Seattle, Washington at the Key Arena. The Elimination Chamber match. So basically, it was Ray, Chris Jericho, John Cena, Mike Knox. John Cena was the champion. Mike Knox and Kane. Kofi Kingston was in the match, but Edge attacked him and took his place in the cage. And so basically, because Kofi was coming out there, he was still doing his Jamaican gimmick, and he had won the qualifying match. He was on the, and then I'm thinking, oh man, Kofi getting a chance. Edge came out there and kicked his ass and got that part and just stood there, and that was, and Edge won the championship that night.
Can somebody say Mustafa Ali?
So somebody had said that they were saying like Mustafa Ali should attack Kofi before the match and take his spot. And I was like, where have we seen that before?
I thought he was gonna attack him in this match. So the more
everybody was up, but they do it. They might save it for Sunday. So everybody like, hey, this happened before. I wonder if they're gonna talk about if it does happen, but they say this happened before. Kofi got attacked before the Elimination Chamber match and got taken out. And Mustafa Ali. We haven't seen Retribution in like...
Well, we saw them last week, but we haven't seen them like as the whole band and cut the promo and everything like that. Yeah, it's been a while since we got that version of them. We got the tag team match last week between Slapjack and T-Bar.
Yeah, okay, and it was okay, but we just ain't seen Mustafa okay. Normally he probably he'd have been on social media or cutting videos or complaining about it. He's not getting his not getting a shot to be on TV.
Yeah, not getting his shine. Lana and Naomi, they cut a promo on their victories last week. And Lana continuing her winning ways. Now let's give it up one time for the glow.
Of course.
Randy Orton is backstage to talk about...
Who got the win?
Huh?
Who got the win?
That was a promo between Lana and Naomi backstage.
Oh, okay. Never mind. I want to say who got the win? Because I'm about to say because... That ain't what I saw.
Randy Orton is backstage to talk about some unfinished business. He says tonight he will win the gauntlet match and become the final entrant. He says, look at what he did to The Fiend. He is no more. He says he wants to be the main event at WrestleMania, and he will not be in the ring with five opponents. He will be in the ring with five victims, victims of the most deadly letters, RKO. And then we head to Alexa Bliss, with her eyes closed, flickering, the lights are flickering with shots of Bray Wyatt on fire in the ring. She opens her eyes and drops some dirt and says, ashes to ashes and dust to dust, and grabs a candle. She says he was destroyed in fire, but in the future, he will be reborn. We zoom out to see Alexa is in the middle of a pentagram. She cackles and claps, and that's the end of the scene.
So that's the thing. If Orton does win, he would still have to deal with The Fiend.
That's light work. That's light work.
You sure it's light work?
That's light work.
You sure it's light work?
Positive.
You sure about that? Light work?
I'm sure. I mean, he already set the man on fire once.
And he's about to be resurrected and about to come back and just show his whole ass.
Uh, Shayna Baszler, she got a win over Lana when she made Lana tap out to the Karafuta clutch.
Oh, you wish knock it in. ain't no, you fighting to the ropes, you done.
How do you feel Lana has improved since the beginning of the year when she was in the last year, beginning of this year, after the tables run ins with Nia Jax?
I mean, they say she's improving. I guess she's improving. I just see her on TV just doing her thing. She might be playing a role. She might can do more, but she might just be playing a role that she's been tasked to play. And I've been seeing her on Instagram having her little workout pictures, and she got the little thing where she can kick up in the air by standing on one foot.
So. Yeah, it's always very impressive to see anyone, especially anyone with height, do that particular stretching that you're talking about. Backstage, Braun Strowman, he wants to know why he isn't in the Elimination Chamber match. Braun wonders if Adam Pearce remembers the last time he pissed Braun off. Adam says he isn't a former WWE champion.
Nope.
Brian was like, "Where's Shane McMahon? I need somebody with more authority than you. Where's Shane? Shane's not here. You ain't have to deal with me. But I'm going to go see Shane at his house. Because he's got to make this right."
Go ahead.
And he's like, "Adam Pearce, there's nothing you can do for me, son."
So apparently, they said he had some kind of blood infection.
Braun Strowman, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds super scary.
He was at the taping, so I guess he was well enough to be there, but there's been a lot of scary things going on.
I wonder if that is kind of why one of the things that led to him getting taken off TV for such a long time right there. Right when it seemed like his new character was starting to get rolling again. AJ Styles cuts promo saying that this Gauntlet match is going to be a nice little warm-up. He will mow through everyone in this match and ride the momentum all the way to the WWE title. He says his attorney, Joseph Parks, crunched the numbers. And statistically, he cannot lose. He will be the champion.
Yeah. Well, you dropping an abyss reference. you dropping an abyss reference on WWE TV, and everybody's like, and people who just in the know, they just chuckling like, we know what it is.
So now it's time for the last hour of the night, and it's the Gauntlet match between the five participants of the Elimination Chamber. So it starts off with AJ defeating Kofi Kingston with a phenomenal forearm. I like these two. They have a lot of up and down, quick-paced action. So I really enjoyed AJ and Kofi Kingston. Then Drew eliminated AJ with the Claymore. This is an Impact special, Drew versus AJ. Then Drew eliminated Jeff Hardy after Drew got his knees up on Jeff's Swanton bomb attempt, followed by the Claymore. So Drew McIntyre is settling in as the workhorse of this Gauntlet match. Then Drew eliminated Randy Orton by countout when the TVs go out and Alexa Bliss shows up all over them. 1,000 Alexa Bliss faces surrounded the ring, laughing over and over. So of course, while he was out on the outside of the ring, he was trying to, you know, get away from those images. He got counted out to 10, and then he got hit with a Claymore while he was on the apron for good luck. And then Sheamus gets the penultimate win over Drew after he sidestepped the Claymore, He hit Drew with the bro kick. And that was all she wrote for this week's Monday Night Raw.
All she wrote.
So a okay go home edition, I guess. I like the gauntlet matches. The matchups were pretty good. It lasted the whole last hour of the show. So you knew you were in for some people having a long night in the match. That person was Drew in particular. He came out third, lasted throughout the bitter end.
Randy got caught up by Alexa.
Randy out here getting caught slipping.
He definitely got caught lacking because he next thing you know he said Randy was been counted out. I was like, what?
Yeah, man. All those Alexa Blisses on the screen doing those crazy things with her eyes and stuff, man, freaked him out. Had no choice but to.
And he realized that referee was counting.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. So at this point, Mr. Mo to the underscore, I'm going to turn it over to you for your final thoughts and shout outs and thank yous.
What? Yeah. Shout out and thank yous.
Yeah, it's the end of we got nothing else to review.
It's the end of the show already?
Yeah, we're there. We're done. Oh, we're done. Man,
we talked about everything.
Yeah, that was it. The last hour of the show was that gauntlet match.
That was an hour.
I'm not doing the the extensive blow by blow.
No. Of course, I was like, wait, that's it. Yeah, I realized that gauntlet match was the 10 o'clock hour. So
yeah, man, that was the whole last hour of the show. AJ burned up a little bit of time. With that promo, but yeah, for pretty much the last 57 minutes of the night, it was straight up wrestling.
So shout out to Dawn, you know, for putting up with me once again. Shout out to my fellow WrestleCast family, Miss Simi holding down the NXT cast, J to the Max holding down SmackDown Matters, Anwar and Terry's boy over there doing their thing with New Japan, Cast a Strong Style. Shout out to The Push, Sean, Dwayne, Benny, and I forgot the other guy's name. It's like a bunch of us, but we need to link up soon because there's a lot of wrestling stuff happening and we need to talk and we need to get these hot takes out and we need to invite some fresh faces on there so we can get their hot takes and we can just say, that's right, we agree, or whatever the case may be. Shout out to the OGs, Sam, Greg, DD Jonay, the lovely Miss DD Jonay, Mel, because Mel always gets shout outs. Now listen to, speaking of Mel, her old, if you know her old Twitter name, it's based off of a Goldface song, Ghostface Killah song. And I heard it today and I was like, that's my shit. That was my shit. Like a minute, 33 seconds of Ghostface just talking to a woman, spitting that game. I love it. Shout out to Classic, Classic Materials, the one who birthed this network, you know, who gave us, you know, who brought the old show back, and you know, and now it evolved to, you know, me who had to threaten to get a guest appearance on here. Now I'm on here talking every week. You know, funny how things work out. I'm telling you, y'all used to hit me up and be like, you know, hey, you want to come on the show? And I'll be like, yeah, I'll do it. It was fun, especially one time I was in Houston, but me ain't gonna talk about that. That was a real fun night. But shout out to everybody else who be in Cammy D, you know, Roll Up Sunny, Jerome, aka Word, Anisi, New Face. She's, like I said, she's been talking wrestling and kind of just got her over there. I'm gonna try to get one of my other Twitter lady friends to come through. She was like retweeting some of the stuff I was talking about the show. So I asked, I said, you watch wrestling? So since I've been five, I was like, well, I need to get you over here and talk with the rest of us. Cause you know, cause she's a real cool young lady, you know? So always good to have, you know, new faces in this place, you know? And anybody else will be up in there. Jubilee Julep, shout out to her. No, I got to shout my wonder twin out. Madame Lizette, Miss V. Shout out to anybody who was watching Young Rock tonight too as well. All right, that's all I got.
All right. Give a big shout out to Mr. Motet_Reese, Mr. Anwar Starwin, Miss Didi Janae, Jay to the Max, Miss Simi. Classic Materia, Sam, Greg. Hopefully Sam's doing well. They're down there in Texas with no power. So
yeah. Shout out to all my all Texas folks, you know, listeners. You know, hope y'all staying safe and warm, you know. And please don't be making jokes about this storm and everything. You know, this is not something cool, man. Texas, they normally not in that area, they don't normally have snowstorms like this. I mean, I'm here in the Northeast, you know, we can handle that. Northeast, Northwest, you know, things like that, we can handle that. We got the equipment to handle it. But don't be trying to crack jokes on Texas folks, man. You know, people going through it, man. You know, people losing lives, you know, homes being damaged and things like that. It's not cool, man. You know, we can joke about a lot of things, but when it's weather-related stuff, you know, let folks got, they trying to survive out here. And we don't need y'all, you know, cracking jokes and doing shit like that, man. It's not cool, man. You know, grow up. 2021. Keep going.
Yeah, definitely. Big shout out to everybody down in Texas. Stay safe. Don't go out and drive if you don't have to. Again, use the hashtag ChamberCast to share your commentary with color this Sunday on the Elimination Chamber as we live tweet Elimination Chamber this Sunday starting at 7 p.m. Be sure to check out NXT Cast and SmackDown Matters as well later this week as we continue to share our commentary with color leading up to Elimination Chamber. Also, there's a brand new episode of Cast of Strong Style with me and Anwar Starwin that's out as we talk about the two nights of the new beginnings from Hiroshima. We had Hiromu defending the title against Sho on one card, and we had the god Kota Ibushi defending both titles against Sonata on the other night. So please tune in to that podcast. Check that out. Head over to CSPN.us. Click on the tab that says keep our podcast free. Do some shopping with any of the sponsors in that drop-down menu, and some of your purchase will come back to the CSPN to help keep the show free each and every week. Also, like I said, become a patron over on the Patreon page, patreon.com/CSPN Media. Check out the content on the Patreon page. Get our AEW Dynamite reviews as well as candid pre- and post-show conversations that take place here before the recordings. There's a lot of good content over there for your enjoyment. So please become a patron, support the podcast, and get that exclusive content over on the Patreon page. For my co-host, Mr. Mo_Reese, I'm your host, Don DeLaRente. And this has been The Rawcast. Please stay tuned for the parting promo.
Sheamus, tonight you will compete in a gauntlet match to hopefully earn the right to be the final entrant inside that Elimination Chamber match on Sunday. So tell me, how would a victory tonight help to secure you as the odds-on favorite?
You know, Charlie, it's funny you ask about the odds, because the truth of the matter is, I shouldn't have to fight for the odds. 2 weeks ago, I challenged Drew McIntyre to a WWE Championship match, and he accepted. That's a verbal agreement, right? I mean, where I come from, a fella's word is his bond. But now somehow, this one-on-one has become a 1-6. So you know what I'm going to do? That's right, Charlie. I'm going to win this gauntlet match. And then this Sunday, when I stroll into the Elimination Chamber, I'm going to have to chill out, relax in my pod, and watch each and every one of those other participants knock the holy hell out of each other. And when my pod opens, We have no idea who's going to be left standing. Well, I'll tell you what, whoever is, they're going to be broken and ripe for the picking. And then I'll mosey on out, fresh as a daisy. And I'll bro kick each and every one of their heads off and eliminate the lot. I'm guessing at this stage, Drew McIntyre will already be eliminated, which will make my victory that much easier. But the truth of the matter is, Charity, the outcome will be the same. The Celtic Warrior Sheamus, your new WWE